Good morning. The reading is from John chapter 15, verses 10 through 15. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
Is everybody comfortable this morning? Seats aren't too hard, are they? Temperature's about right. I think we normally keep it on about 70 degrees in here. I opened the door between Sunday school class and worship service. I noticed some pretty fine automobiles out there in the parking lot. I would imagine some of you probably left your air-conditioned homes this morning and rode in your air-conditioned vehicles to come here to worship God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is one of our greatest freedoms, one of the ones that's most dear to our heart. And you know, that freedom was not won by any president of the United States. It wasn't won by a United States congressman. It wasn't won by a diplomat. It was won by a soldier. And do you remember when you were small, growing up, dreaming about what you wanted to be when you grow up? And then you grow up and you become that. And then you decide who you're going to marry and where you're going to live. And you go there and do that. These are freedoms that are not shared around the world. These freedoms, and this freedom was not won by a community organizer. It wasn't won by a negotiator. It wasn't won by a preacher. This freedom was won by a soldier. Our lesson text this morning, it was in the reading that John just read so well just a few moments ago, is in John 15 and verse 13. Greater love knows no more man than this, than one would lay down his life for his friends. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and tomorrow we will mourn the death and honor the life of all of those servicemen that gave the ultimate sacrifice for these freedoms that we take for granted so many times and these freedoms that we enjoy so much. And it will span the entire spectrum. 248 years, some 62 military engagements that cost the lives of 1.2 million. American servicemen and women. I think most of us are familiar with most of the major wars and skirmishes that we've had over the years. There's the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II. There is Korea. There is Vietnam. There's the Persian Gulf. There's Iraq. There's Afghanistan. But what about all of those that gave their lives in lesser known skirmishes? For instance, how many of us remember the Franco-American Naval War of 1798? What about Grenada back in 1983? You remember that? 19 men lost their lives, 19 in that war. What about the tragedy of the USS Cole in year 2000? I submit to you today that there is no detail that is relevant in these. One of those 19 servicemen and women that lost their lives in Grenada is just as important as anyone who lost their lives in fighting in the Pacific in World War II. Those men and women have remained mostly anonymous except to their loved ones and their families, but who were they? Well, they were husbands and wives, mothers and fathers. They were sons and daughters. They were friends. They were neighbors, all melded together in one great interest, and that was to bring a greater service to all society as well. They came from all walks of life, from all regions of the country. Nevertheless, they all had one thing in common, and that was a great love for and loyalty to this great nation that we call home. They were the nation's defenders, and on Memorial Day, we will commemorate those people. I know that a lot of people do a lot of things on Memorial Day, and for many people, as I wrote in my bulletin article, for many people, it's just a day off from work. But let's take a few minutes. Let's take a few minutes tomorrow, sometime during the day, and remember all of those hard-fought and hard-won freedoms that we enjoy. Freedoms such as the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom to keep and bear arms, and so many others. Those freedoms that were won so hard so long ago. Today we collectively remember those who gave their all. Our scripture this morning, John 15 and 13, is fitting for this Sunday, I think. John said, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." In this verse, our Lord spoke of the greatest love that there is. And that love is sacrificial love. The sacrificial love of United States soldiers, sailors, air persons, and Marines. These men and women volunteer to leave their homes, leave their families, and protect the freedom that we treasure. Former Senator Fred Thompson once said, "It wouldn't be the land of the free if it were not the home of the brave." I suspect that Senator Thompson is right there. It's good and proper for us to thank God for each and every one of those men and women that gave their lives, that we might have the freedom that we enjoy this morning in coming here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I don't believe that anyone here this morning is afraid at all that someone might come in here and try to stop us, or might try to imprison us or punish us or persecute us in any way. And that's the freedom that we love. Sacrificial love. It's the norm in America. I remember back in 2006, there was an EF3 tornado. Went through Gallatin. Piled up 37 brand new Nissan automobiles. Damaged all of those cars. But we had a friend, Melanie. She lost everything she had. The tornado picked up her house, spun it around, and slammed it down. destroyed it completely. Well, Wanda and I decided we were going to go out there and help her find some things. She needed some help. So we went out there, and I was struck by the states on the license plates. There was automobiles from Alabama, from Mississippi, from Texas, from Indiana. People, Americans, had come from all over the country to help. It was the same last year when the tornadoes tore through those Kentucky counties. People came from all over the country to help them to rebuild their lives again. Americans always help. I want you to look again at our verse this morning. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We've seen two examples now of sacrificial love this morning. The sacrificial love of the great American servicemen and women who have gone into battle with the full knowledge that they might give their all in that battle and in that great work. And we have seen the sacrificial love of people, Americans, that will go and help their fellow man no matter what the cost is. But I want us to think about another sacrificial love that was provided by God on our behalf. Jesus laid down his life for his friends and sacrifice himself for us. We've met around this Lord's table this morning. This is a memorial day for Christians everywhere. The first day of the week when we come around and we eat this bread, we drink this cup, and we remember what Christ did for us back there on the cross so long ago. Jesus led a life of sacrifice. A life of sacrifice. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, it tells us there that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father. Full of grace and truth, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's think about that for just a moment here. I don't know how we can quantify or qualify exactly the sacrifice that our Lord made. His residence as a spiritual being was in heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and He left that. And He came here in the flesh to live as a lowly human, to live as a man. You know, how can we quantify just that part of the sacrificial love, of the sacrifice that He made for us? Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 7, and following that up, he said, He made of Him of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient even to death, even to the death of the cross. This love is sacrificial and it's undeserved. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Somebody might die for a friend, but Christ died for His enemies. He died for the men at the foot of the cross, the ones that drove the nails through His hands and feet, He died for them. This was selfless, sacrificial love that he gave to each one of us. Peter goes on in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, and says, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish and spot." The greatest act of sacrificial love was when Jesus willingly sacrificed his life to free us from the bondage of sin. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Jesus laid down his life for you. And then he called you his friend. He said, "You are my friend if you keep my commandments," in the very next verse 14. Let's think about for just a moment that we who are Christians are friends. You're a friend with the Creator of the universe. Imagine that. You're his friends. John 15 and 15 says, No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." But what's the application of all of this then? Well, the application is that we rightly honor those who sacrifice themselves for their friends and for their country, the ones that we're going to commemorate, that we're going to give honor to, and that we're going to remember on this Memorial Day this year. The greatest gift that God ever gave to humanity, though, he gave in the person of his Son. And we can see this story written out in the scripture that has been called the golden text of the Bible in John 3, verse 16 and 17. For he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's the great story of the sacrificial love of our Heavenly Father. It says God, and I've said this so many times, and we often quote that scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten," and that's fine, but I really believe that this scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He so loved the world. He loved the world as much as anything could be loved. Normally, in human terms, when we receive a little gift from someone, a loved one, a friend, or somebody, for some special day, a birthday, Christmas, or other thing, we like to acknowledge that gift and give them something back. However, so glorious indeed is God's grace. So glorious indeed are the great gifts that God has given to us. What can we give back to him other than to join the psalmist asking, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits?" Our blessings from God are so numerous, they're so rich, that we're made to testify, as the Apostle Paul in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." What we can give God is small compared to what he has given to us. Nevertheless, we must not fail in presenting those gifts to him, to acknowledge the great gifts that he's given to us. And let us now, I want us to just consider briefly now four things that we can give to God in return for the great gifts that he's given to us and continues to give to us. And the first one, it must not be a secret to anyone, is our love. We must give our love to him. Even in human terms, love is the greatest of gifts. There's been more words written about love. There's been more books published about love. There's been more people that have been inspired by love than any other subject in human languages. I'm certain of that. It is surely significant that Paul lists as the first manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so on and so forth. But love is the very first one of those. Important as well is the fact that love is twofold. It reaches out first to God Almighty, and then it reaches out to our neighbors, to our friends. A lawyer asked Jesus in the crowd in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 38. He said, "Teacher, what is the first and great commandment?" Jesus said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." He said, "This is the first and great commandment of the law, and the second one is likened to it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself." It's been put, Adam Clark put it very succinctly in his commentary. He said, our Lord shows us that the whole of true religion is made up of our love for God and our love for our neighbor. The whole of true religion. All gifts are worthless and unacceptable if they're not accompanied and given from a heart of love. True love has no limitations, no boundaries. It can't be purchased. You can't buy true love. It's always freely given. No wonder the scriptures place so much emphasis on our love for God. So our love, that's something that we can give back to God. Number two is ourselves. We need to give ourselves back too. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, is that Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. He said, "I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service." In other words, we give ourselves, along with our love for God, we give ourselves as a vessel that he can use to do good things with while we're in this life. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God in light of all his great gifts to us. How can we do less? How can we do less than to work for God in his kingdom? And that's what this means, to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. It means get to work in the kingdom. That's something you can give back, not only your love, but your product. Get to work in God's kingdom. Paul faced this question and adding the observation that such is our reasonable service. I'm not exactly sure what he means by our reasonable service, but what I think it means is that you present your body as a living sacrifice unto God because this is the minimal acceptable standard that he will take. It's our reasonable service. It's what we're converted to do. He or she gives all. Our spiritual commander, Jesus Christ, calls today for those to bring him the powers that they have. One of the great things about bringing to God our power, about bringing our vessel, about bringing our bodies and presenting them to him, is to see what great things can be done when he works through us and works with us and we work with him in order to increase our labors in the kingdom of the Lord. There's never been a time in history when the cause of righteousness needs more consecration in that subject than it does today. What better gift to bring to Christ than a yielding of your total selves to His will? Saying with the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 and 24, "Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." Thus we offer our gifts to God. We offer the gifts that we have to Him. So we have our love. We have ourselves. Number three, we have our loyalty. The wise men saw Christ's star on the occasion of His birth. And it presents a lesson in loyalty, I think, that's worth noting. Not only were they diligent in their journey, they were diligent in their search for the Christ child, but they also refused, they were diligent in their refusal to accept bribes from an earthly king. Their loyalty firmly was anchored in God Himself. Others were unseeing, others refused to believe, but not these wise men. They grasped the promise. They clung to God's word. We cannot ever find Him. We cannot ever serve Him if we do not believe His holy word in its entirety. Not picking and choosing what we like, as most of the religious world is guilty of doing these days. Well, I like this, but I don't like that. But I'll take this, but I'm just going to think I'm going to leave that. No, we either believe the Bible and we follow it, or we just leave it on the shelf. But we can't take part of it. The wise men were not satisfied just to find Him and leave either. They recognized His divinity and they worshiped Him reverently, whom even angels bow before, Hebrews chapter 16 says. And what is more, they verified their love and worship to Him through gifts. They brought Him gold, frankincense, myrrh, some of the most valuable things known on earth at that time. They brought those as gifts, as valuable treasures. They gave to Christ their very best. And friends and brethren, we must do no less. Christ must be first in our lives. So our love, ourselves, our loyalty. And lastly, and then I'll leave the lesson with you this morning, is our talents. In one form or another, each one of us has some unique talent or capability that God has given to you. It's been bestowed on you. It's been instilled into you. And our talents are not all the same. They may not be equal in number or variety, but they are gifts. They're gifts from our Creator, and we must consecrate them to God. When Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was growing up, he was a young man, he wrote in a letter to his father, "I am not sure as yet for what my talents fit me, but I am determined to be eminent in something." Well, I truly believe that God has endowed each one of us with certain talents and capabilities that differ, each one of us, from the other. Stephen has talents and capabilities that I don't have. Woody has talents and capability that Randy doesn't have. And we're supposed to use all of these together. Can you think of the power of just the people that's sitting here this morning? Just the power that's sitting here if we were all using those special talents and capabilities in the work of the church here at Neely's Bend? We'd be in our fourth building program now if everyone was using those talents and capabilities. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. is that we're all supposed to be using the things that we have. And this promotes growth in the kingdom through love. I truly believe that God has endowed us with this capacity to be eminent in something. And this eminence may not appear in men and women of this world, but it certainly registers with God. It certainly does. He knows what you have been given. The beautiful thing about giving is that we have our talents to what God has seen. Paul wrote to young Timothy, his son in the Lord, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, and said, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." That's good admonition. That's good admonition to each one of us. Because I think everyone here, you know what your special talent is. There's something that you're very good at. Maybe you practice it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you did years ago, but now you don't. But still, you know what that is. You know what that is, that you're very, very good at that. And it could be very useful in the kingdom. We need to use those. It's also the laying up of treasures in heaven when we do these things. If we use our talents for His glory, we will hear Him say, as in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He said, "You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." What a grand day Memorial Day is. And I'm talking about the first day of the week. It's a grand day to come together. And one of the things we do every Lord's Day is to meet around this table. We eat this bread. We drink this cup. And we remember the sacrifice, the sacrificial love that both God and His Son showed to us. Greater love has no man than this, than that one would lay down his life for his friends. And then He calls you friends. And we are His friends. We're the friends of the Creator of the universe, and we should never forget that. Is there anyone here this morning subject to the Lord's invitation? Is there anyone here this morning that is not a baptized believer outside of Christ? Just like those Ephesian brethren so long ago, without God and without hope in the world. That's where we are when we're outside of Christ. Or if you've just strayed away and you feel like you need to come back to Him, whatever your needs are, there's a song that's been announced that we're going to sing as an invitation song. Won't you come as we stand together and sing this?